Even as they ran, Thomas went through the code words again in his mind. Float, catch, bleed, death, stiff, push. They just had to make it a few dozen feet more.
Something just sliced my arm,
Teresa screamed. Even as she said it, Thomas felt a sharp stab in his leg. He didn't look back, didn't bother answering. The seething impossibility of their predicament was like a heavy deluge of black water flooding around him, dragging him toward surrender. He fought it, pushed himself forward. There was the cliff, opening out into a gray, dark sky, about 20 feet away. He surged ahead, pulling his friends. Battles clashed on both sides of them. Thomas refused to look, refused to help. A griever spun directly in his path. A boy, his face hidden from sight, was clutched in its claws, stabbing viciously into the thick, whalish skin, trying to escape. Thomas dodged to the left, kept running. He heard a shriek as he passed by, a throat-scorching wail that could only mean the glaider had lost the fight, met a horrific end. The scream ran on, shattering the air, overpowering the other sounds of war, until it faded in death. Thomas felt his heart tremble, hoped it wasn't someone he knew.
Just keep going, Teresa said.
I know,
Thomas shouted back, this time out loud. Someone sprinted past Thomas, bumped him. A griever charged in from the right, blades twirling. A glaider cut it off, attacked it with two long swords, metal clacking and clanging as they fought. Thomas heard a distant voice, screaming the same words over and over, something about him, about protecting him as he ran. It was Minho, desperation and fatigue radiant in his shouts. Thomas kept going.
One almost got Chuck,
Teresa yelled, a violent echo in his head. More grievers came at them, more gladers helped. Winston had picked up Albie's bow and arrow, flinging the steel-pointed shafts at anything non-human that moved, missing more than he hit. Boys Thomas didn't know ran alongside him, whacking at griever instruments with their makeshift weapons, jumping on them, attacking. The sounds, clashes, clangs, screams, moaning wails, roars of engines, spinning saws, snapping blades, the screech of spikes against the floor, hair-raising pleas for help. It all grew to a crescendo, became unbearable. Thomas screamed, but he kept running until they made it to the cliff. He skidded to a stop, right on the edge. Teresa and Chuck bumped into him, almost sending all three of them to an endless fall. In a split second, Thomas surveyed his view of the griever hole. Hanging out in the middle of thin air were ivy vines stretching to nowhere. Earlier, Minho and a couple of runners had pulled out ropes of ivy and knotted them to vines still attached to the walls. They'd then tossed the loose ends over the cliff until they hit the griever hole, where now 6 or 7 vines ran from the stone edge to an invisible rough square, hovering in the empty sky, where they disappeared into nothingness. It was time to jump. Thomas hesitated, feeling one last moment of stark terror, hearing the horrible sounds behind him, seeing the illusion in front of him, then snapped out of it.
You first, Teresa.
He wanted to go last to make sure a griever didn't get her or Chuck. To his surprise, she didn't hesitate. After squeezing Thomas's hand, then Chuck's shoulder, she leaped off the edge, immediately stiffening her legs, with her arms by her sides. Thomas held his breath until she slipped into the spot between the cut-off ivy ropes and disappeared. It looked as if she'd been erased from existence with one quick swipe.
Whoa!
Chuck yelled, the slightest hint of his old self breaking through.
Whoa is right, Thomas said. You're next.
Before the boy could argue, Thomas grabbed him under his arms, squeezed Chuck's torso.
Push off with your legs, and I'll give you a lift. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
He grunted with effort, heaved him over toward the hole. Chuck screamed as he flew through the air, and he almost missed the target, but his feet went through, then his stomach and arms slammed against the sides of the invisible hole before he disappeared inside. The boy's bravery solidified something in Thomas's heart. He loved the kid. He loved him as if they had the same mom. Thomas tightened the straps on his backpack, held his makeshift fighting spear tightly in his right fist. The sounds behind him were awful,
horrible. He felt guilty for not helping. Just do your part, he told himself. Steeling his nerves, he tapped his spear against the stone ground, then planted his left foot on the very edge of the cliff and jumped, catapulting up and into the twilight air. He pulled the spear close to his torso, pointed his toes downward, stiffened his body. Then he hit the hole.